Chapter 17. It was not the dark silence of the missile hold that Alima found so troubling, nor even all those cylinders packed with detonite and baradium and propellant. It was the cold. The caves of Ryloth, where she had spent the first years of her life, had been hot and dry and dusty, and the Gorig nest in which she had lived as a Killick joiner had been warm and humid and close. But the missile hold of the Anakin Solo was frigid, even with a pair of bulky GAG utilities pulled over her own customary robes. Her nose was numb, her leku were tingling, her teeth chattering, her old wounds aching, and her breath rose in curtains of steam.
"Alima, if you don't keep that glow-rod on the cut, we're both going to be sorry."
Lumia was kneeling in front of a missile rack, using her cybernetic hand to carefully run a fusion cutter down the nose-cone welds of a baradium missile.
"This isn't something I do every day."
"You are not making us confident."
Alima shined the light on the missile just ahead of the fusion cutter's beam.
"Why not tell Jason to have a trained technician remove the... whatever it is you're after?"
"The proton detonator charge,"
Lumia said. She was not wearing her face scarf, so her disfigured jaw instilled in Alima a feeling of kinship and togetherness.
"And Jason can't know about this."
"We should have guessed."
Actually, Alima had already guessed, and she was simply seeking confirmation. Even after she had prevented Master Lobi from exposing what Lumia was doing with Jason, Lumia remained secretive about her goals and plans, almost as though she did not truly understand the nature of her partnership with Alima.
"But we have told you. Jason is important to the balance. We need him alive."
Lumia continued to work, moving down the side of the missile toward the point of the initial cut. Alima counted to five. Then, when she had still received no reply, she moved the light away. The fusion cutter strayed from the weld, causing a shrill hum as it sliced into the skin of the missile cylinder.
"Crazy bug slut!"
Lumia snapped off the cutting beam.
"You could blow the whole ship apart!"
Alima shrugged.
"What does it matter? If Jason dies, he does not become a Sith. If Jason does not become a Sith, Leia's suffering is not equal to mine. If Leia's suffering is not equal to mine, the galaxy remains out of
balance. You've told me."
Lumia reignited the fusion cutter, but continued to hold it away from the missile.
"I'm doing this to help Jason, not hurt him."
Alima continued to shine the glow rod away from the missile.
"How?"
"Jason asked me to rendezvous with Ben at Roku Depot,"
Lumia said.
"He's about to lead a task force to capture one of the coup leaders at the Relifon Moons, and he wants me to make certain Ben rejoins the Anakin safely."
Alima frowned.
"But Ben is aboard a reconnaissance skiff," she said. "They can find their way to the Relifon Moons."
"Exactly."
Lumia motioned at the missile.
"If you don't mind, the Anakin will be making her first jump within the hour, and I need to be gone before then."
Alima swung the light back toward the missile, but kept the beam focused on the floor.
"It sounds suspicious."
Lumia sighed in exasperation.
"It sounds suspicious because it is suspicious. Jason came to me as soon as the Skywalkers ended their little visit. I fear I've become a liability."
Alima returned the light to Lumia's work.
"You think Jason is sending you into a trap?"
"I know he is. He's arranging a fight between me and Luke."
Lumia returned the fusion cutter to the weld and resumed work.
"If I kill Luke, It creates an opening for Jason to take over leadership of the Jedi Order. If Luke kills me, then it will look as though I've been stalking Ben all along. Luke will assume that his original fears were correct, and the veil of suspicion will be lifted off Jason.
Jason is no better than any Solo. Alima was boiling with outrage. Leia spawned a pack of lilacs.
Oh, I think she did better than that,
Lumia replied.
I'd say Jason is more of a Thernby. Sly, ruthless, and deadly. I couldn't be more proud.
She completed the cut, and the nose cone came free. Alima caught it with the force, lest it jar the impact trigger and detonate the proton charge.
Proud?
Alima carefully lowered the nose cone to the floor.
For betraying you?
Oh, very proud,
Lumia said.
I was growing worried that Jason lacked the strength and cunning to fulfill his destiny. His betrayal proves that I was wrong. Jason is very capable.
We do not understand.
Jason's destiny doesn't allow him the luxury of loyalty,
Lumia explained. She deactivated the fusion cutter and set it aside.
If he were unwilling to betray me, how could we expect him to betray his entire family?
Alima had no answer for that. Even in the real dens of Kalaum, where a dancer's loyalty was strictly to herself, the one person she had never betrayed was her sister Numa. Lumia began to sort through the tangle of wires and filaments surrounding the missile's proton detonator charge.
Master Skywalker is not someone to trifle with,
Alima said.
You could be killed.
I'm aware of that.
Lumia found a bundle of wires leading into the head of the detonator housing and began to sort through them.
I have fought him before, you know.
What about Jason's destiny?
Alima asked.
Without you to guide him,
Jason has the knowledge to complete his journey.
Lumia separated out an orange wire that ran from the detonator housing into a relay box on the head of the missile cylinder.
All that remains for him is to make his sacrifice.
Then he hasn't?
Not yet.
Lumia pulled a pair of wire cutters from the pocket of her utilities and slipped the jaws over the orange wire.
But he will.
Alima's heart leapt into her throat.
Not the safety delay.
Lumia looked up, her brow furrowed in irritation.
Orange isn't the safety delay. It's the proximity sensor.
It was on Imperial missiles, Alima said. On Alliance missiles, it's the safety delay. There's only one wire. See?
Lumia studied the bundle, then reluctantly shifted the wire cutters to the first of a handful of gray wires. Alima breathed a sigh of relief, then asked,
How can you be sure?
I assume you'd tell me if I was wrong again,
Lumia replied sharply.
We mean Jason, Alima explained. If he doesn't make his sacrifice, and you are already dead...
He will make his sacrifice,
Lumia snapped.
Now, about these wires...
Cut, Alima said. What are you waiting for?
Lumia cut the first wire. Then, when the Anakin Solo did not vanish in a white flash, began to cut the other gray wires.
We are not sure we like this plan,
Alima said.
If you are killed, his uncle will try to draw Jason back to the light side of the Force.
He won't be able to,
Lumia said.
Because whether or not I return from this fight, Luke won't.
She cut the last of the gray wires, then exchanged her wire cutters for a hydrospanner and began to unbolt the detonator housing.
That is what the proton detonator is for? Alima asked, finally comprehending Lumia's plan.
A combat failsafe?
Lumia nodded.
As you said, I might be killed.
It seems to us you are planning on it,
Alima replied.
Planning for, not on.
Lumia removed the last fastener from the detonator housing.
But I will admit that being killed is a more likely outcome than I would prefer.
Then why go?
Alima asked. Although she would never admit this to Lumia, she did not like the idea of Luke dying so soon. The balance would be better served if he were forced to watch Jason's decline, if he struggled to redeem his nephew before ultimately falling on his blade.
Killing Master Skywalker is no good if you don't survive to enjoy it.
Lumia set the hydro spanner aside, then looked up at Alima with an expression approaching pity.
I'm not doing this for me, you silly dancing girl, she said. But there's no use explaining. You wouldn't understand.
She turned her attention back to the missile, grabbing the detonator housing with both hands. Alima, seething at Lumia's put-down, deactivated the glow rod. There was a metallic click as the housing contacted the proton detonator.
Are you mad?
Lumia whispered. In the silence that followed her question, could be heard the soft, nearly inaudible clicking of an electronic timer counting off second tenths.
Turn on the glow rod!
We are trying.
Alima slapped the glow rod against her crippled arm a couple of times. Assuming the housing had activated one of the impact triggers, they had about 5 more seconds to deactivate before the safety delay expired and allowed the charge to detonate.
But we aren't smart enough to understand. We're just a silly dancing girl.
I apologize,
Lumia snarled.
Now turn on the quiffing light.
Alima tapped the glow rod against her arm again.
We're still not sure we understand.
All right, Lumia said. Have you ever been part of something bigger and more important than yourself?
Our nest.
Alima reactivated the glow rod. Lumia quickly removed the detonator housing the rest of the way from the proton charge, then reached out with the force and pulled the trigger plunger away from its contact. Alima continued her answer.
Individuals died, but Gorig lived on. Gorig was more important than we were.
Exactly.
Lumia exhaled slowly, then used the force to levitate the detonator casing while she retrieved the wire cutters and reached inside to snip the rest of the wires.
My situation is not so different.
Alima frowned.
How is it not different? You are the last of...
She stopped, suddenly realizing why Lumia might be willing to risk dying before Jason completed his sacrifice. Why Lumia seemed so confident he would, even without her to guide him.
There are more Sith?
Lumia floated the housing down to the floor, revealing a head-sized wafer of bright metal with a small tube of liquid deuterium sunk into the center.
There is a plan that will be carried out whether or not I survive.
Lumia reached over and followed 2 wires from the top of the deuterium tube to a small circuit board, then unclipped them both.
That's all you need to know.
We don't believe you.
Alima did not bother moving the glow rod away, since they were no longer at a crucial point in the disarming process.
Aren't there only 2 Sith at a time?
Lumia picked up her hydrospanner and began to unbolt the proton charge.
Do you really want me to answer that?
There was a cold edge in Lumia's voice that rocked Alima back on her heels, and she realized she had probably heard too much already. If there really was a secret organization of Sith, and that was the only reason she could think of for Lumia's willingness to sacrifice herself, they were obviously very serious about keeping their existence secret.
"No, there is no need," Alima said. "We have heard enough of your lies for now."
An amused twinkle came to Lumia's eyes.
"That is probably for the best."
Lumia removed the proton charge from the missile, then pulled a black combat vest from her tool satchel and slipped the device into a chest pocket. She checked to be sure that the actuation wires would reach from the deuterium tube to a small sensor pad located about where the wearer's heart would be, but did not affix the clips.
"Very clever,"
Alima said.
"You win, even if you lose."
"It is the Sith way."
Lumia scooted her tool satchel down the floor to the next missile on the rack.
"Bring the light. We're running out of time."
"We don't understand."
Alima began to have a sinking feeling, but she did as Lumia asked and shined the light on the nose cone of the missile.
"How are you going to wear two proton charges?"
"I'm not."
Lumia reignited the fusion cutter, then looked up at Alima.
"This one is for you."